Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 17 of Back to Square One.
We are your lovely hosts, Derek and Carmen. How did we get so far behind? We used to have like 4 episodes in the vault.
Yeah, and then life got in the way, and then we kept using the buffer episodes.
Damn.
So what you're hearing this week, ladies and gentlemen, is being broadcasted ASAP.
Yes.
Today is April, what? 4th? 5th? 6th?
6th.
Today is April 6th. You'll be hearing this April...
7th.
April 7th. You'll be hearing this April... What is it, 12?
Yeah, plus 6.
What's my calendar?
13.
You will be hearing this April 13th, so this is very up to date.
Yeah, hottest news.
This is word on the street.
All right. Go ahead. You're leading this one.
So how... Okay, this is what happened last week, okay? we're just going to jump right into it. This is what happened last
what
week.
What happened?
I was at Queen and Church.
Okay.
Which is a part of downtown on the East End.
What were you doing there?
I was picking up... I was picking up film from the Henrys at Queen and Church. And on that intersection is a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to get an iced coffee first. I think I'll pick up my film. It's still like early in the day. It's like 11 a.m. or whatever, right? So I'm lining up at this McDonald's. And I hear two people talking. They're sitting down at the table. It's a very tiny McDonald's. It's Queen and Church is like kind of like the East End of Toronto, which is kind of a bit... It's kind of a bit grimy. It's kind of a bit shady.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I hear these two people talking.
In McDonald's.
In McDonald's.
Okay.
I'm lining up to wait my turn for the cashier.
Sorry, what time is this?
Around 11 a.m.
Oh, okay. In the morning.
In the morning.
Yeah.
I'm lining up waiting to go to the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
The tables are where I am. So the closer I get to the cashier, the further I go from this table.
Yeah.
Okay. But I hear these two guys. One is like a 30-year-old white guy. One is like a 50, 60-year-old brown guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. Very, very different people. And the white guy goes, you know, like, I've been to parties all around the world. I've met billionaires in Dubai. I've been in million-dollar penthouses in New York. But to sit with you today, sir, is a pleasure.
Okay.
So right away, I'm intrigued.
You're like, yeah, you turned like, your head.
Like, who the fuck are you and who the fuck is he?
Yeah.
Right? So he goes, you know, I've been with billionaires in Dubai, million-dollar penthouses in New York, but to sit with Canada's first and foremost mathematician is a pleasure, sir.
This is the brown guy speaking?
This is the white guy.
The white guy. Who's the 30-something-year-old.
He's a 30-something-year-old.
And who's sitting with the 50-something-year-old brown guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm looking at these guys. The brown guy's not saying anything. He's just like dabbing his tea.
The mathematician.
Yeah, the quote-unquote mathematician.
Yeah.
And then the line starts moving, so I start moving further away from them. And they keep talking. And I'm like, are these crackheads? Or is this a guy who hung out with billionaires in Dubai? And is this Canada's, you know, number one mathematician?
Hanging out at McDonald's at 11 a.m.
Hanging out at a McDonald's in the most grimy part of town.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Right, and I keep moving further and further away because I'm waiting to order my iced coffee.
Yeah.
And I leave the restaurant and I don't know, I keep looking back at them without trying to like be obvious, and I see the brown guy who's supposedly Canada's, you know, top mathematician or whatever, smiling at the other guy.
Yeah.
But there's no confirmation. By the time I leave the restaurant, grab my iced coffee, there's no confirmation. And it just made me think, like, only when you live in this city do these two possibilities exist. A, yes, this is a motherfucker that hung out with billionaires in Dubai, been in millionaire penthouse suites in New York, and is all of a sudden hanging with this guy who's, you know, top mathematician. Or they're just fucking crackheads. literally two crackheads just hanging out with each other, and one just making up a story, one just smiling, nodding along.
They don't even know each
other. Yeah, they don't even know each other. Because literally they were in bummy clothes.
Yeah.
But it's also like the morning on like a Saturday or a Sunday, so I don't expect you to be dressed up at McDonald's. But I'm like, wow. The power of downtown.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, where both realities could be true. This could be Canada's top mathematician just, you know, steeping his tea, you know?
And then you message me and you're like, I have a good topic for the podcast.
Yeah, I was like, it really made me think, like, downtown is a special place.
Yeah. I mean, for the listeners who don't know or who didn't catch it from the first couple episodes.
The first 16.
Derek and I are from, well, I guess you can say we're from Toronto.
I'm from, okay.
I was born in Toronto. I don't know what you.
Shut the fuck up.
I was born in Toronto. I was born in Scarborough.
That's not Toronto.
Yes, it is.
I was born in North York. Is that Toronto?
Is Scarborough not close to North York-ish?
Scarborough is Scarborough. North York is North York.
Scarborough is part of Toronto.
Okay, everything is part of Toronto. Everything is part of the GTA, which is the greater Toronto area.
True, you can say like Saga's part of Toronto.
Yeah. Okay, we were born on the outskirts of Toronto.
Neither of us were born in Toronto.
Yeah, okay, we weren't born in downtown Toronto.
Downtown Toronto, yeah, yeah. But both of us have lived in downtown Toronto.
We have lived in downtown Toronto. I still currently live in downtown Toronto.
Yes.
And I realized, right, through that incident... Through another incident where I told you I was giving a friend's girlfriend a ride 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend who was a listener of this podcast, she was asking me, she was like, how do you make your life rich in terms of experiences, in terms of... And then going through that McDonald's incident, going through that car ride... And this is really reflecting on my life in Toronto. I realized being in the city, being immersed. There's another story. I'll get to another story. But being immersed in the intersection of so many lives and so many events and so many moments does make your life rich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? And so a couple of weeks ago as well, I was walking down... So my barbershop is on Queen Street, mm-hmm. Queen and John, which is right by the Much Music building, which is right in the heart of downtown Toronto. I was leaving I was leaving the barbershop, walking to my car, and I hear a couple that's just walking down the street, right? And they go, oh, those studio lights are on upstairs. Meaning like, so when you're in downtown Toronto, there's the street level stores,
mm-hmm.
and then there's shops usually above second floor.
Yeah.
So these guys were clearly local enough and knew enough about their neighborhood where they noticed that the lights on the second floor unit of above a shop were on.
Which normally aren't on.
Yeah. Which shows, okay, you are clearly living, this is your fucking neighborhood.
Yeah, you come here a lot. Yeah,
yeah, clearly like you are downtown, you know what I mean? And it made me realize I'm not even aware of such things in the city.
Right.
Like these guys are downtown, right? Yeah. I'm still a half semi-tourist.
Yeah.
Right. When you come downtown, you're kind of a tourist still. You know what I mean? You used to be here.
We'll get back to that.
You used to be here, but you don't know what's good anymore. You know what I mean?
Continue.
Right. And then I was like, wow, these guys notice when a random shop that's second level, oh, their lights are on. You know, new tenants must have moved in or something must have been... Right, something is different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And it just made me go, wow, there's so many intricacies, so much detail, so much difference in the lives of people who, quote-unquote, live downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, I clearly look out for different things. I don't look out for that. My reality is different from these people. They probably notice when... their neighborhood convenience store has a different set of flowers outside, and when the, you know,
or they
mean?
Know like that person, like yeah, the shop owner
exactly,
by name,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So like they're we just have such different realities,
yeah.
You know, and that just kind of brought me to today's topic of, you know, downtown and just like what a wonderful thing it is to live downtown and how much that affects you and all that comes with it.
Mm, yeah. So I think just to give another little background, I would say out of, again, we all grew up in Mississauga. I would say out of all the kids in Sauga, like our group of friends, I was probably one of the first to move downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
How old were you?
I was 20, 21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Youngin'.
I was 21. And I moved downtown, and the purpose of moving downtown was for school. So I moved downtown for dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived right up Bay and Dundas. So for those of you who don't know, it's where Eaton Center is. It's literally like, would you call that like downtown downtown?
I would call that like the...
I mean, it's literally where City Hall is.
It's where City Hall is, but it's like tourist downtown.
For sure. Residents, like people don't live long term there.
Yeah, it's a very high traffic area. Very students, a lot of, you know, the GO station is there, the, you know, the subway stations are there. It's very like transient downtown.
Yeah, a lot of like people come and go. Like even the people in my building, I think majority of them were students. Like you didn't see a lot of young families.
Mm-hmm. It's not like culture downtown.
No, for sure no.
Yeah, it's you know, big box stores, franchises.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, you don't have like the mom and pop shops there. Yeah. You know, Best Buy is literally across the street. Like there's like a fucking Red Lobster, you know, like across from my building.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I remember like, I think my experience living downtown and yours is very different.
Mm-hmm, clearly.
Yeah, because mine, like I was 21, like my purpose for living downtown was first of all for school.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really venture out. I didn't have a car. I didn't really venture out of like my little
walking square. Distance radius.
Yeah, walking distance radius. Like sometimes we take the subway to like, oh my God, maybe we'd venture to like Queen Street.
Oh my God.
To like walk, you know, in the little stores. But like that was pretty much how far we'd go. And at the time, like we weren't working, we didn't make money. So it was like, even when we went out to eat.
Just like budget, go to McDonald's, grab a little, whatever, Chinese food.
Yeah, we weren't going to like brunch or like, you know. But no, I do miss it because, I mean, around that time was really when we started partying and drinking and, you know, clubbing and all that. And it was just nice to have a place downtown to stumble home to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, my place for the longest time was probably like the original Mariner.
Yeah, the original party spot. We would pre-drink there.
Yeah. Pre-drink there. Like people would crash after clubbing. Yeah, it's... I always say like my security guard at the time probably has seen me through like so much. Like seen me coming home like pissed drunk, coming home like crying, you know? But yeah, your experience is really different.
Yeah,
when did you move? Because we definitely never overlap living downtown.
No. So I moved downtown when I was 25, 26 during that year.
Oh, literally when I left.
Oh, probably. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You moved when we weren't talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Because the first time you talked to me again, you're like, would you like to come to my housewarming?
Yeah, I remember when, so how it happened for me was, I think this was 2015, 2016. Good friends of mine, Wally and Eric, Wally told me, yo, I'm moving downtown. I'm finding a condo with Eric. At the time, I didn't know Eric.
Oh, you didn't know Eric before that?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know him. And then I remember telling him right away, like within the same conversation, I was like, start finding a place for three bedrooms.
You're like, good luck with that?
No, because I'm like, you're not leaving me behind in terms of progress in life.
Oh, like you're like, bring me with you.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't ready to move downtown. I just bought my car that year.
Yeah.
So that's like where most of my money went. I just got a new car. I'm happy. And then now you tell me you're moving downtown. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm moving too.
Like with you.
Yeah, like in life, like not just location wise, but like progression.
Oh wow. So if it wasn't for Wally, you never would have moved downtown?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. Well, I think I eventually would have, but not at that rate.
Oh wow. Okay.
Because I literally just got my car. I was happy. I spent money on it. I was just like, yo, I'm going to chill it for a bit.
Mm-hmm. What was their reasoning? Like,
I think Eric was newly single, and I think at the time, Wally worked at Scotiabank downtown.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it just made sense. So that's kind of how 35 Mariner began. We just started house hunting for 3 bedrooms.
Right.
And then we settled on 35 Mariner. And then that's how it came to be.
Holy shit, it's almost been 10 years. Dude, you're 33. Right?
It's been 6 years. 6 years. We've been at the condo for 6 years.
You said 25.
I think I moved when, by the time it happened, it was late that year. So it was November, December of that year. So I was 26. Now I'm 32. So it's been 6 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Almost 7.
Yeah. But it's been such a, so where we live is kind of near the CN Tower for people who don't know.
Like the Sky Dome or the Rogers Center.
The Rogers Center for Toronto geography. And I remember so many times and even until like this day where I would leave the condo, walk around, right in front of our condo is the bridge from R Street, Bremner, to Front Street, right? You have to go walk across the bridge, which is where all the GO trains are. You see the CN Tower. And you see tourists on that bridge taking photos of the CN Tower.
Mm.
But you're just minding your own business, doing your everyday shit.
And you then, literally look out your window, right? Can you see the CN Tower from your view or no?
No, we see the Toronto Islands.
Okay.
Yeah, but you walk outside the condo, you see the CN Tower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you always get this sense of like appreciation and gratitude because you literally see tourists taking photos of your front yard.
Like people literally travel all around the world
to come here
to marvel at the CN Tower.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to like, you know,
get home.
go home, get some food, whatever the fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, I just feel like we need to talk about that more, where downtown is a place where it shapes you. You're immersed in culture, which you don't have in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
You're immersed in you're literally in the hub of everything that's happening. And I remember one of the reasons why I wanted to move downtown and someone asked me why. And I told them, like, I literally want to be at the intersection of things. And then, like, no pun intended, I want to be at the intersection of things where people are crossing paths. Ideas are crossing paths. Finances are crossing paths. Whatever is crossing paths, I want to be in the middle of it and see where I fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And me looking back now, I think that's one of the most important and life-changing decisions I made.
So you're pretty much saying that like every young person
should live downtown.
If they're
1,000%.
Yeah, right.
No questions asked. If you want to grow, if you want to learn, if you want to know what real life is, real culture is, real food is, be in the city.
Yeah.
Period.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
And the surprising thing is like how certain people, like yourself included, how you can be a part of that and then leave. Because we have friends, for instance, who we've talked about in this podcast before, like Richie, right? Richie and Susan, good friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Who've got a taste of downtown living, and even though they have a family now, still choose to remain downtown.
Because
it's just such a beautiful place. You go downstairs, you look outside, and on your walk to grab coffee, grab a bagel, whatever it is, you see life happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how you can leave that.
I think, and then you, on the other hand, you have a lot of people like me, or, you know, like our friends, Jackie, Kitty, you know, all of us who have lived downtown and kind of felt like
it was just like a dabble thing. Like, I'm just going to go to the party for a little bit and then leave.
It's kind of like, you know, been there and then it's like we've experienced it and now it's like we were ready to kind of like just move on with our lives, I guess. It's like, don't get me wrong, like, for sure, like, I agree with you, downtown, there's the advantage of, like, yeah, the different cultures, meeting new people, the best restaurants in the world, you know, but it's, like, realistically, I mean, it's not like I live that far from downtown, like, it takes me, like, 30 minutes to get downtown, but it's also just, like, there are things that, in the suburbs, that you can't get in Toronto, for example, land, For example, like a garage for parking, you know, or like try affording a house this size in downtown Toronto, right? Like Richie and Susan are still struggling to find a house for their bigger family, right? It's not easy, you know, raising a family downtown either, I would say.
But the thing is, for you guys, it feels like the trade-off was so not even a decision. Like,
I think it's also because we grew up in the suburbs, so it was like very natural.
For
like,
sure.
A lot of people I know...
That's what you're used to. That's your baseline.
Yeah. So it was almost like, oh, suburb is naturally where you go to raise a family. You know, if had we...
grew up downtown.
Exactly. If we were those Toronto kids who like walk to school downtown, you know, then maybe it would be different. But I don't know. Like for us, Saga was just always home, like childhood. And when we think of raising our kids, I just think suburbs.
Yeah, I guess that the downtown impact just wasn't that great.
Yeah, I don't think mine was similar to yours.
Yeah, because it was everything for me, to be honest. Like,
but honestly, even like you said, even where you live is not like, I would say like really downtown, downtown. Like because even where you live is pretty touristy.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, I would say where we live is a very good in-between. Where if you want to be in the city, you're in the city. If, like, we're around real city folk, but we're also around the people who are in and out. You know, but we have access to downtown. We have access to the Toronto Islands. So we have a very good balance where if I don't feel like I want to be in the city, I can just go to Queens Quay, grab a coffee, look at the water. But if I want to get drunk and go to a bar, 10 minutes is King Street. You know what I mean? So it's like kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do miss it. Every time I'm downtown, I'm like, oh, wow. Like
the people, the places.
Yeah, I miss it. And so much has changed. Like, you're right. I don't even know. Like, obviously, all the bars that I used to go to have, like, changed. You know, the restaurants, a lot of the new ones, like, I don't know. But then you go back and you're like, oh, wow, this is so nostalgic because I do remember, like,
certain things.
Walking these streets, yeah. But yeah, you miss it. But at the same time, it's almost like now it's just like an extra effort you have to do to get down there. It's like what Richie was saying, you know, when there's a list of 10 restaurants that we both want to hit up, it's really easy for him to go. He can literally go like Tuesday after work. It might take me a full year to try all 10 of those restaurants, but I will eventually try them. Whereas for him, it might take him a month. Right? That's the only difference. And like for me, the trade-off is, yeah, I don't know, like I guess because you don't work like a 9-to-5 job, so maybe you have like more time to like explore. I don't know, because like let's say you worked a 9-to-5, right? You work 9-to-5, you go home, you go to the gym or whatever, you cook dinner, and then it's like nighttime. So literally Monday to Thursday, not really doing anything. You're literally like at home, probably watching Netflix.
But it's in the between moments where, let's say, sure, I worked a 9-to-5. On my way to work, I see so much. I see the corner store that's run by the family. I see the bum on the corner that I pass by every day. I see the bus driver that's late, that's yelling at someone. You know what I mean? I see so much. And then sure, I walk back home, I work out, but I see so much, and then maybe some friends want to grab a drink, and sure, yo, give me an hour, I'm going to work out, shower, and I'll come meet you guys. But when you're in the suburbs, if everything feels like such a planned event, what time are we meeting? What's going on? Okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, it's like this big chunk in your calendar versus downtown. It's like, yo, just let me shower up, I'll come meet you, and then I'll come back home, tuck in for bed, and I'll wake up, do it all over again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the difference, where it's like these small in between moments that just give your life extra richness, I would say.
Yeah. But I think right now too, you're experiencing that because you still have friends who live downtown. I think perhaps once you get to like a certain age, when more and more people are moving back to the suburbs, it will be like different.
I don't know. I feel like wherever I go, wherever I am, I need to be in the city. I need to be around the, not, I don't need to necessarily be interacting with the people. Mm-hmm. I just need to be amongst it. I just need to see it.
So it's like,
I just need to walk downstairs on my way to get coffee.
So you can't see yourself ever going back to like Saga City?
No.
Never.
It's
what too... What if all your friends move back?
All my friends move back. I need to be, in a sense, ground level with the people and the energy and the flow. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it also depends on like the like which pocket of downtown you live into. Yeah. Because I think even kind of like where like Jen lives, which is, what would you call that? Like West Toronto?
It's like, oh man, it's like real Toronto. It's north.
Koreatown, right?
It's close to Koreatown. It's like north, northwest.
Yeah. I mean, even her area is pretty residential, but then like a street over, she's got all these restaurants.
Yeah.
But I mean, even for her, it's like pretty, like the life that they live is pretty like, I would say suburban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very family.
Yeah.
It's very family, but you have access to the happening if you want to access that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me some of your crazy downtown stories.
I don't have crazy downtown stories.
Don't you have something to announce?
No, what do you mean? No, I don't.
Coffee shop?
What coffee shop?
You met the love of your life?
Oh! Okay.
I told Derek that he could use this as a platform to look for her.
Okay, so last Thursday?
Yes, because we didn't meet up.
Last Thursday, I was driving to the Eaton Center to buy my new MacBook. And on the way to the Eaton Center,
like
I was
in your car?
You were in my car. I leave my condo, right? I go up Peter Street. I'm waiting to turn right on Queen. And at Peter and Richmond, I see her
walking down the street.
My car's at the intersection. I'm the first car there. I see the pedestrians walk in front of me. And I see her. And it's like everything going off in your brain.
Like, describe her. Is she Asian?
She's Asian.
Does she look mixed?
She's Asian. She doesn't look, I don't think she's Chinese.
Okay.
She's like 5'7", 5'8". Black jacket on, black jeans, black boots, white shirt. And she's crossing the street. I think she has a backpack on.
A backpack?
I think so. I just remember the black boots, black jeans, black jacket, and maybe a white undershirt. But absolutely gorgeous.
Long hair?
Long hair. Fuck, I wish I can remember.
What? So if you saw her again, would you remember?
Yeah, if I saw her again, I remember.
Can you paint a mugshot of her?
No.
What?
But.
Like, this guy messages me. I just saw the love of my life. And you can't even remember what she looked like.
All I knew is I saw her and I immediately started looking for places to pull over. But because there's construction on Peter Street and because it's a narrow one-way and Richmond's a one-way, there was nowhere to pull over and I had to get to the Apple store for
my... You were going
to
pull over and literally like talk to her?
Absolutely.
Oh my god!
I was looking for places to pull over.
Is this like Financial District?
No, this is outside of Financial District. So this is like...
Peter and Richmond? Where's that? Peter and Richmond.
I'm going to put out this ad on TikTok right now. TikTok. Oh my, I don't even know how to phrase this.
If you're a girl who owns a black jacket, black boots, black jeans.
Yeah, like, it was so... I've always been a person where I feel like I have no control in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas have me, passions have me, and I follow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't think I was going to become a photographer. I didn't think I was going to enjoy doing music. I didn't think I was going to do a podcast. I didn't think of anything.
Yes.
I just know, hey, I sense passion. I follow passion.
Yeah.
That's my equation.
Yeah.
I see this girl and I just realize like she is someone I would follow. You know, and
tell the audience then what you did.
Yeah,
in and the so, next couple what was it like?
Yes, yeah, so since then, since last Thursday, for the last like I've
every Thursday since?
Yeah, no, so the day afterwards, immediately.
Yeah.
I found a coffee shop near that corner and I sat there and I waited and I looked at the window while I was working, like hoping to see her again, you know, and I've been back there 2-3 times, you know, at various coffee shops around that intersection, just, you know, just
trying to look for her.
Yeah, trying to look for her. But what I realized in that, in those hours of working, like there's so many, and when I say beautiful, I don't mean like physically beautiful, but I just mean like beautiful people walking by,
mm-hmm.
people with rich lives.
Mm-hmm.
People walking their dogs, people meeting their grandparents, people running to their first job because they're late. People like, you know, I'm just like on this corner just watching people while I'm working and it's just beautiful. But
how can you move?
Oh my God.
How can you move? This guy's like literally,
okay,
you know.
Listeners of this podcast, she was... She was like 5'7", you know, I think she's, I don't know what she is, man, but she was.
This is a very good description.
She was walking by the intersection of Richmond and Peter last Thursday
at
5:15 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I texted you. I just saw the love of my life walk by.
So if you know anyone who matches this description, leave us a comment down below.
Exactly.
So Derek can meet the love of his life.
Yeah, and but beyond that, like that's what downtown represents. Downtown represents the possibility.
Hopes,
dreams.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like I can't leave that place. You know, even if I leave to another city, it has to be downtown.
Yeah.
Right? It's just beautiful. But yeah, but that's literally my week. Just me at different coffee shops with my MacBook looking at the window and waiting for her.
I'm trying to think like what else. We went to our friend's Richie's birthday this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to karaoke. And anything happened there?
So obviously you haven't been drinking. You haven't been partying.
Yes.
Right, the baby inside you has been depriving you of such fun.
Yes.
I mean, you tell me your experience. We're, you know, 12 of us in a really small room, close friends, drinking, partying, one of our close friends' birthdays. We're all having a good time. How did you feel being in there, being sober?
Honestly, I had a lot of fun. Like, I'm actually very surprised because I was like, oh man, like everyone's like, intoxicated, you know, on something, and like I'm the only sober person in there, and I was like, I'm not gonna be able to keep up with you guys, because I mean we literally left to karaoke at like 10:30, got there almost 11 o'clock, and usually karaoke is one of those like you don't
super
really
super DJ nights,
yeah, and you don't leave there until like 2 or 3 a.m. right? I think we got home at like 4 a.m. like I got home at 4 a.m.
mm-hmm.
But like I had a lot of fun. Like, I don't know. Karaoke is just like one of those things where at least there's something for me to do. Like,
right.
I don't know if you noticed, I was like DJing most of the night, trying to like keep you guys
entertained. I think everyone would have been entertained regardless.
But no, I think obviously like being able to drink, you know, being able to indulge would have been very fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just even being in the presence of you guys energized me. Because I really didn't feel tired. At no point of the night was I like...
bored or anything?
Bored or looking at the time thinking like, oh my God, when are we going to go home? Like, it was none of that. I was like keeping up with you guys. You know, I was enjoying like the conversations we were all having. And it didn't even... like, I didn't really feel left out that I wasn't drinking.
Mm.
Yeah. Having said that, karaoke is one of those places where I can fit in, right? Because we're in a private room. We're with the closest friends, you know. We're with our closest friends. We're choosing the music that we like. You know, I'm energized by the music even. But like, had we been at AM, PM or...
like a club or a bar, you would have just been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I mean...
it's too much.
Yeah, and I'm literally showing now. I'm very... I look pregnant, so... it's not even like I can physically fit in. Not to say like pregnant people can't have fun, but it's like there's a sense, like there's almost like this fear of being judged if I'm out in public, like at...
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, like when I was younger and let's say I saw someone who was like very pregnant at like a club, like even me... being like, very judgmental. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I'd be like, oh, that's strange.
Right.
Like, first of all, this person's definitely not young. You know, she's pregnant. Second of all, like, she's not even drinking. What is she doing here? So, like, in my head, I think I naturally just, like, place that, you know, restriction on myself. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I do miss it. But at the same time, like, I had a lot of fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was one of those moments where you just know, and I think we talked about it that night, where these things are going to be less and less. You know, where as you're having fun, you're also looking out at the scene and you're trying to remember the scene and hold on to it in your mind because you realize we're all growing up.
These moments are rare.
Yeah, these moments where we all get together is harder and harder. Everyone has different schedules. People are having kids. People are whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like when we were 22, 23, 24, 25. And it's like every weekend was like this. And it was, you know, if you miss this weekend, it's all good. Come out next weekend.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now it's like an event in itself where, you know, you don't. Obviously, we know it's going to happen again soon, but you know that the frequency in which it happens is getting less and less. And, you know, and you just kind of, as you're experiencing it, you're also cherishing it.
Yeah, you're just trying to take it all in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was good. And it was like a good group. I think too, like, I'm almost like, again, this is, again, something that I'm just self-conscious about. I sometimes wonder, like, whether people think I'm less fun because I'm not drinking.
No, I don't think anyone's thinking about you at the moment. Everyone was.
It's almost like whether Carmen's there or not, it doesn't matter.
But
because I'm not drinking.
But
you know what I mean?
Whether you realize whether any of us are there or not doesn't matter. Your friends are going to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's a thing where you do remember the people that were there.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that really stood out to me, I remember saying this to you and Duncan. I was like, this is Saga City mutated.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because within that group of 12 people, you have the core Saga City people, right? Me, you, Duncan, Kitty, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the core Saga City.
Yeah.
And then you have the mutations of, I brought this friend in, you brought this friend in, and now we're all close friends. And but you see the remnants of the friend circle of where we were like 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, where... and I think we talked about it that night where it's like, when did these other friends drop off? And you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, if you're 20-something right now, if you're in your young 20s listening to this, the friend group that you have right now, you think is your friend group. But then as the years go on, you know, whether organically or not organically, people drop off.
Yeah.
You know, and what remains when you're 30 is completely different. But you do have remnants of the 20s.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to see, like, just where life takes you.
But it's exactly the same thing as what you were saying the other day with that Instagram post where, like, you know, the lines mm-hmm. kind of come together and then separate, come together with different friendships. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm thinking back to, like, there was a time when, so all of us, actually, I was living downtown and you were living in Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a group of four friends. So it was like me, Derek, Jackie, who we talked about before,
mm-hmm.
or Jackie came to karaoke that night. So mm-hmm. Jackie, we still kind of hang out with, you know,
here and there,
here or there, once a month, maybe. And then there's someone we've never talked about before, Arif. Shout outs to Arif, actually, because he got his PhD today.
Shout out to Arif.
Yeah. Dr. Cartolo. But
OG Saga City member.
Yeah. So us four at that specific, it was like maybe a span of 1 year.
You were still downtown at the time?
I was downtown. I was, because you and Arif would come downtown a lot, remember?
Right.
Yeah, but us four, we were so close. We literally hang out every weekend, like sometimes like Friday and Saturday, every single weekend without fail. And mm-hmm. it would be like, you know, we called ourselves F4, but there would be like these F4 truck nights where Derek would like steal his dad's, what are those called? Like pickup trucks?
Yeah, it was a Ford F-150. So it was a massive truck.
Yeah, it was a nice truck. But like he would steal it from his dad. We would take it out at like midnight into the darkness somewhere in the suburbs. We'd park it. We'd literally sit in the back, look up at the stars, and we'd just drink like out in nature.
Yeah.
And that was like our whole summer that year. And it's like, now, fast forward like 7 years later, I mean, you barely see Arif,
mm.
right? You know, even Jackie, we only really see here and there. Like, I talk to you a lot still, but Jackie, maybe here and there,
mm.
right? And so, like, it is crazy, like you said, with our younger listeners, it's like you have these really close friends now, but really you never know whether your lives are going to continue that mm-hmm. way. Right. So just like,
just cherish it for yeah. what it is and say, honestly, I would say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Like there's no point in staying home that night. There's no point in getting extra sleep. There's no point in, I mean, sorry, okay, don't get me wrong. If you are doing something important, get the extra sleep and, you know, go to work and do your job. But like, also keep in mind that there is something special about adolescence and the time that you have together where you're so young and like adventurous. And, you know, that time is deserved to be spent with friends. You know, whether or not they're your friends a decade later is besides the point.
Yeah.
You know, that time is deserved to be spent with friends doing foolish things because, you know, wisdom only comes from experience.
I know. And trust us on this because we're like 32, 33.
We're old as fuck.
And we're still doing like stupid shit every weekend because it's like you, at this point, you start to realize like, oh, wow. Yeah. These moments are so rare that mm-hmm. it's like, if I don't say yes this week, who knows when the next time it will be.
Yeah. Because right? before you know it, like, right. Like it just happens so quickly. Life just happens. Like it slips away from you where you, all of a sudden you and that person that you used to hang out with every day just don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And if someone were to ask you like, oh, when did you guys stop talking? You're like, I don't even know. It just,
yeah, it wasn't like anything happened.
Yeah. It
like,
just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for that day for us.
Tomorrow. Yeah. You know, and that's just life. Like,
yeah. And you know, like also once you reach this age, like you can't, sure, you can do reckless things, but you're paying for it.
Yeah, you're hurting the next day.
You're hurting for like a weekend, you know?
Yeah, it's different, man.
Different. We used to like stay up, you know, like 4 a.m., roll back, drunk, and the next morning still like wake up for class or wake up for work and, you know, be fine.
Yeah.
It's not the same anymore and you've got responsibilities and... we were talking to Duncan about this before. It's like, it's sad because now we have, maybe we're more like financially stable, right? We have the money to now, we can get a booth.
To really have fun.
Yeah, but we might not have the time.
Yeah.
We don't have the same friends that are down to, you know, to do those things. And it's like, when you do have the time, you don't have the money. And so it's, that's life, I guess.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, in many ways, I'm so happy that that we started this podcast because it is recording such a...
snapshot of our lives?
Yeah, it's such a... Obviously, our life has... I can't even say pivotal because it's already pivoted. Right? It's pivoted multiple times already, but it's still a pivotal moment because there's so much that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and there it always is small changes that you don't notice until you really look... when you look back on it and you're like, holy fuck, like, right? A million small steps and all of a sudden we're a mile away.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the day where, like, I mean, if we continue to do this and, you know, my son gets older and then he starts listening to it and he's like, what the fuck? And it's like so cringe and, you know, you're like, oh my God, how is this still on, like, the interweb? And I'll be like messaging you, get these off YouTube or Spotify. But yeah, no, it will be very interesting. It'll be, especially like you said now, like there's just so many changes happening with mm-hmm. both our lives, with our friendships, with, you know, our friendship. And so, yeah, it'll just be nice to look back.
Yeah, which also brings me to the other point of documentation. I remember like, maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. my iPhone started running out of space. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like on a plane, flying to LA, flying to New York, and I just start deleting shit. Mm. Deleting videos, especially because videos take up the most space in your phone. And now I'm like, I'm not going to touch that shit. If my phone's running out of space, I'm upgrading it. I'm keeping it. I'm not deleting those memories because you realize like as stupid. So this is what it is, okay? I have never said this to a wedding client before. But in my mind, this is what I've always wanted to say when a wedding client wants to negotiate with me. Right. The photos that I take today sure is, you know, because you remember it so freshly, it's not worth much. Mm-hmm. Right. But a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, when you have kids, and they want to see things and they want to see photos. How much do those photos all of a sudden become worth? Mm-hmm. How much are you now willing to pay? Let's say it's 30 years later. You're in your 50s, 60s, 70s. And you want to see the day you got married, your family, your friends who showed up, the uncle who passed away, your parents who are no longer with us. How much would you pay to see those photos? Mm-hmm. Are you really going to bargain over $500, $1,000, $2,000? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Is like, come on, like, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. Right? So documentation of your life, whether it be on your iPhone camera roll, whether it be via a podcast, even over a blog, a silly blog that sometimes we all stumble upon. Oh, look at my old Tumblr.
Oh God, so cringe.
It's so cringe, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, no, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, this was... at a point in my life, this was who I was.
Yeah.
And as much as I cringe looking at him or, you know, it just is what it is. Like, it's still something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, like, it's just so valuable.
Yeah. No, for sure. Do you back up everything on your phone?
No, I just transfer it from phone to phone.
Oh, so you just keep getting more?
Yeah, I have to up the storage.
Do you have iCloud?
No, I don't use iCloud.
Oh my God.
So literally every time I get a new phone, yeah, it has to be like 3 hours to like fucking move everything over. You know, but I should get iCloud. I know Richie would. Richie, if you're listening to this, I know you want me to get iCloud because it's $2.99 a month and it's worth it.
Oh my gosh, that's it?
But I just hate the idea that I take a photo and it has to sync to a cloud and I'm like, I just want it to be on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Should we wrap it up? I think that's all for this week.
Before I wrap that up, I just want to say So on that topic of documentation, I'm sure you know this because I've told you before. If there was, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just need to say this. If there was a burning, if my house was on fire, there would be one thing I would save.
Your phone?
Stop.
A box.
In my closet. In my closet, I keep this shoebox.
Yes.
And this shoebox literally has everything from wristbands to concerts that I was photographing, backstage passes, photos, notes from girlfriends and lovers and flings and...
Just like memorable... What's that word?
Memorabilia? Memorabilia. Souvenirs of life.
Yes.
And...
It's like your little time capsule.
It's the only representation that I was here.
Okay, stop.
And and I think that, and it's just something the day that I really do open it and go through it, it will be.
You haven't opened it in a while?
No, I've opened it. I open it and I slide things in.
Oh, it's literally just like a shoebox. Like that size. Literally
a
shoebox.
It's a K-Swiss.
Everything fits in there.
It's a K-Swiss shoebox, which shows you how... Because it was popping when we were in high school.
Yeah, but Derek's shoes are pretty big, so.
Yeah, it's a big shoebox.
Damn.
But I think, I think for me at least, I can't speak for you or anybody else, but those are the important things, the milestones, the achievements, the memories, it's not the car I drive. Like, that's cool, but that's not the meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say just, find the meaning in your life.
That's a great way to end off this episode.
Find the meaning in your life.
See you next week, everybody. Bye.
Later, guys.